welcome to another episode of North American Deer Talk, where the fusion of facts and opinions become the education and entertainment for all. This is your host, Josh Newton, and we have another great show for you today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is another episode of North American Deer Talk. It is May 15th. It's a beautiful day here in Pennsylvania. The birds are chirping, the sun's out. It's just it's a nice day all around. Been getting some cold temps at night, dropping down into the 30s. We'll talk about some of the things we can do to help make sure those fawns do well in that kind of situation. I got my recording partner here, my dog Ozzy. He's just hanging out in the recording studio with me, so hopefully he doesn't get agitated and start talking to all you guys and take over the podcast. But he's sitting here just lounging in his bed, hanging out. So anyway, we're going to talk about some of the things we got going on here at Red Ridge Whitetails, which is the testing grounds for Cerevit Solutions, and give you some updates on what we got going on there. Let's go ahead and get into our sponsors. Just remember, the sponsors help make North American Deer Talk possible, and they've stepped up to the plate additionally and said, hey, we want to make sure that the people that listen to the show and sign up for the CSM or the Cerevit Solutions membership have an opportunity to save some money and help support the industry. So let's go ahead and take care of them. First sponsor of our show today is The Whitetail Guide. The Whitetail Guide is a marketing company that targets the whitetail breeding industry. They publish a hardback or a hardcover breeder book pedigree, as well as two other magazines every year, the Superdome magazine and then the Fall Edition magazine. Whitetail Guide's hard series is really the reason that the Whitetail Guide started almost 10 years ago. I mean, it's been 10 years since Volume 1 came out. How cool is that? And it's really the only book of its kind for the cervid industry. This book generally consists of hundreds of the leading breeder bucks, their pictures, pedigrees, which are all four generations deep. It has scores and the owner's contact information. So it's a really great resource for you to have on hand. And with 10 different volumes, there's a ton of bucks. They also publish the auction results for all the major auctions in the industry. So you just, you know, when you're flipping through there, you can pop into the back. If you see a buck you like, and go ahead and look them up, see what those animals are doing in the auctions, and kind of make some better and informed decisions on where the market's at. The Superdome magazine and the Fall Edition are both sent out to their full mailing list. And that full mailing list combines all the members of NDEFA, the DBC, the TDA, and 17 other state associations. They feel it's really the best mailing list in the industry. On top of our print and publications that they do, they also offer email blasts and other marketing solutions. And they've just started up a graphic design firm. So with a wide array of graphic design, the ad designs, promotional flyers, logos, booth displays, Whitetail Exchange is really your go-to place for any type of marketing. The second sponsor of the show today is Applied Reproductive Concepts, or ARC. ARC has been providing the cervid livestock owners of this industry reproductive and herd health services for more than 15 years. Their reproductive services include artificial insemination, embryo transfer, semen collections and processing, all of which are performed in a state-of-the-art mobile surgery and laboratory. This custom lab permits clean and consistent conditions, which are critical for producing excellent results. I've been using ARC services for, about 12 years now. I couldn't be happier. Dr. Weiss, who owns ARC, she's top-notch. She's all about educating clients and answering questions as much as she can while she's out of your place doing the work for you. She has extensive background and working in the field of wildlife research and reproduction for cervid livestock and other exotic species. ARC's success is really based on a few key elements: education, which we just touched on, customer service, and communication. So whether your operation consists of 10 head or 2,000, the ARC team has the tools and the knowledge to help you reach your goals today. All right, now that our sponsors are wrapped up, we'll go ahead and we'll do the Product of the Week segment. Product of the Week this week is Servid Solutions Nuvac 2. What is Nuvac 2? Nuvac 2 is a vaccine that we've developed here, and it's an industry-leading multivalent mycoplasm coverage vaccine. So it has two different strands of mycoplasm. Also, it has two different types of Pasteurella, the Bieberstein triolosa and the Pasteurella maltosida. It's got the what used to be called the Archaeobacteria pyogenes, which is now called Truparella pyogenes. So I think a lot of us have seen or heard about the Truparella. And it also has the Fusobacterium necrophorum, and it has two separate strains of that. The really nice thing about Nuvac 2 is it's dartable, and it's in a low-dose 1cc delivery. So you can load up a 1cc dart, and you can dart any type of animal you need. I think with some of the issues we've seen and with the increased stress levels at weaning on some of our animals, especially the mother-raised bucks, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and hit those animals with just a little 1cc dart at about 8 or 9 weeks old, and then follow up at weaning. And I think we'll see a great increase in the protection of those animals at that time. Weaning tends to be a real stressful period for some reason on those bucks. I think just because they're kind of getting out on their own and they're away from mom, moved into another pen with a bunch of other bucks. So I think vaccinating those beforehand will really help a lot of guys with controlling some of those pneumonia related issues. And we can try to knock that out of them really before it starts. And that's what we want to do. We want to try to save as many of these guys as we can. If you end up ordering that, what we can do is we can set up a custom protocol for your farm. So we'll go over some farm history and find out kind of when and where these problems are happening. And we'll set up a program that works just for your farm with the Nuvac 2 product. Also, if you're interested in learning more about us and you appreciate the work we do here on North American Deer Talk, you might want to look into signing up for our CSM or our Service Solutions membership program. We have some great products coming online here over the next couple of months. We're working on a video series, which will be available exclusively to members. We're also working on a database or a herd management program that will help track some of our medications and our vaccine schedules and some really cool stuff there. So consider checking that out. You can just go to servidsolutions.com, go to the membership page, just click the sign up below, sign in with your username and password, and just follow the prompts from there. It's $5.99 a month or $60 for the year. So we certainly appreciate the support of all the NADT listeners. And with that, we'll go ahead and we'll get into the main topic of our show. So the main topic of our show today is going to be just some updates that we have going on here at Red Ridge and Servid Solutions. And again, Red Ridge Whitetails is basically it's the farm here that I manage, and it's really the testing grounds for Servid Solutions products and the programs that we've been developing here. I know that we've seen a bunch of fawns here in the past, I guess it's a week now since we had our first fawn, and we just had a single buck fawn. It was out of our sex semen program, which was pretty cool, kind of was unexpected. You know, it's about a week and a half early, but saw that girl out there laying with her fawn. It was pretty cool. So we got our first fawns here, and so far so good. I do just want to note before we get into anything further, hey, you guys down in the south, Oklahoma, Texas, I know you guys are getting pounded with rain. You know, stay safe, try to stay up on top of things. Boy, I've seen some pictures, you know, guys cruising around. I think Chris McSpadden, he put a picture. I don't know if he was cruising around on his ranch in a boat or what, but boy, there's like just, you know, 7 to 10 feet of water everywhere, and just crazy what you guys are dealing with. Hopefully, hopefully it calms down here a bit and all the animals are safe. So, us northern guys are thinking about you, and, you know, again, stay safe and keep those animals going. So like I said, we had our first fawn here, so everything went well with that. We've been fawning now for like I said, a week. I think I'm at 13 fawns. We've had three sets of triplets now. Two singles, three trips, and a set of twins, something like that. Does that add up? Yep. That's 12. Anyway, maybe we do have 12 fonts. I have to check my books. I've been running around trying to set up some programs for some guys that have been calling in about the vaccine program for their fonts and stuff. So anyway, I think that it'll be interesting to look back at our program here this year, and this will be the fifth year that we're vaccinating, and we've tried a couple little different things here with when we've actually vaccinated those animals, and some pasture management, and separating those animals out and reducing social stresses. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that, you know, with the amount of triplets we're seeing, and they're all doing really well. We did have one little incident that I'll touch on here in a bit with one of the fawns. But you know, for the most part, everything looks good. You know, these does are in really great condition, and you know, the fact that they're popping out three fawns, it's just, I think it's a real good indication of our herd health. So I'm hoping, you know, we still have quite a few does to go, but I'm hoping that, we can see a fawning rate of over two per doe. I think we've only done that 1 year in the past. All the other years we've been under that, but that would be, that'd be super. So I think that's a good indication to look at your herd health and say, you know, how productive are these animals, and what are we getting out of them as far as number of fawns? I touched a little bit on fawn shelters in the previous episode. I shot a quick video. We had 36 here two nights ago, and it was like 39 last night. It's been pretty dry here, so we haven't dealt with some of the moisture, which is really good, because the fawns just don't do well when it's raining and cold, but they do just fine in that cold. I mean, 36 is pretty chilly. I walked outside in a t-shirt and went back in and put a hoodie on, because it was chilly out. As soon as the sun comes out in the morning, it kind of warms everything up, and everything's good to go. But when that sun goes down over the mountains here, it's quite a bit colder. So one of the things we did is we took two hay bales and we put them side by side, just some cheap grass hay, and left about maybe an 8-inch gap in between them, and then we put another hay bale on top and just sprinkled some hay in between that gap, and those fawns just sneak right in there and lay down, and it's just super insulation for them. So if you got any kind of smaller fawns that maybe you're unsure of, and you're not doing any bottle feeding like we are, we're not doing any bottle feeding this year, first year, and I guess 14 years that I haven't bottle fed. So it's kind of nice to take summer off. We're doing some other projects here, and trying some things out. So we'll see how that goes. But that little fawn shelter that I constructed, really neat, quick, easy to set up. I took a quick video of that. I will try to attach this in on the show. I might throw it up on the homepage of Served Solutions. We have a blog up there now, so I can update that as I need. It's just right in the center column on the homepage, so you can click through. I've posted up the fawning protocols that a lot of you have asked for. So if you end up losing an email that I sent out, or you can't find them somewhere, they'll be on the homepage for you. Right in that center column. So I'll try to throw that video up either on the on a link to the podcast or on that homepage. It's just a quick little video of that fawn shelter, but I think you'll get the idea, and you can be as creative as you want. Now, as far as the cold weather goes, so we had a set of triplets here, two real solid fawns, about 7 pounds a piece, and then we had another one that was, I don't know if it was probably three pounds. I'd have to check my records, but it wasn't much more than that if it was. And, he could not reach mom. Mom's a big doe. She's about she was 186, 188 pounds, at breeding this year. So real solid animal. And he couldn't reach her. He was half the size, you know, at the back of the other ones. And, so I would take out a bottle to him, in the morning, and I would take one out to him at night, and he finally, after the second time I took it out there, he latched on, and he was getting about, three, four ounces at a clip. Anyway, so I threw him in that little hay bale setup, and this was two nights ago, and he had crawled out of there, and I don't know if maybe something was wrong, if the cold got him or what. Sometimes with those small fawns, they have a lot of problems with the regulating their body temp. Anyway, he didn't make it. He was still alive the next morning, and I tried to work on him a bit, and I couldn't bring him back around. But that's just how things go. But anyway, some of those little shelters are handy for some of the other fawns. They like those a lot. So a couple of things that we can do that may or may not work for you, but they've served us well in the past. If you have a fawn, and this goes for weak fawns, and I'm not talking about sick, I just mean like when they're born, they're just not quite spunky. Maybe their glucose level is down, things of that nature, or maybe they got cold and wet and have some hypothermia going on. One of the best things that we found is the CNE Energy Pack. And what that is, it's just some strategic proteins and some really good energy and probiotics. Comes in a little package, just dynamite stuff. And what we do is we actually tube feed that. And that'll be on our list of stuff that I'm going to go over that you need to have on hand when you're fawning. But that CNE Energy Pack, I've seen it take fawns that are almost flat out. And within a couple hours, man, they're popped up and sitting there with their head up, kind of looking around like, hey, what's going on? So really good to have that on hand. I like to keep a couple electric heating pads on hand. They're real nice for setting fawns on. Now, we don't want to put the fawn directly on the heating pad because they get really hot and they can actually cook. They can cook the fawn, they can burn it. And I don't mean like burn like fire, but just, you know, they're way too hot. So make sure you put a towel or something there. We like to have maybe a comforter or a blanket. I actually have a polyester and then cotton knitted blanket that's actually like a dog wrapper, a dog jacket. And I put that over the heating pad and then I put another heating pad on top of them. That's a good way to maintain heat on some of these fawns. The quickest way to warm a fawn back up, if you have a fawn with hypothermia, is I like to take the CNE Energy Pack. I like to mix that up with some warm water. Go ahead and tube them. That immediately puts those good energies into their stomach, starts feeding the body, and it warms them up from the inside. Then I take beach towels or bathroom towels, and I put those in hot water. And I wring out all the water, and then I take those and I'll put them in a trash bag, and I will surround that fawn with those steamed heated towels. And boy, those fawns, they warm up quick. You got to make sure the fawns are dry. We always want those animals dry. So if there's any kind of moisture on them or anything, let's go ahead and get them dried up good and get those steamed towels around them. Boy, that can heat them up in a real quick order. So I like to use a 3 mil bag. It's a little bit heavier bag. It keeps some of the moisture, I don't want to say from coming through the bag, but it seems to hold the towels a little better, and it actually will retain a little bit of the heat because it's a little thicker. So that's a super way of heating those fawns up. Another thing I like to have on hand is a couple heat lamps. The heat lamps are just, you know, something to put over them after they come out of like the towel wrap and the tube feeding. I like to take a small dog kennel, you know, like a dog carrier, one for a mid-sized dog works well, or even a small one depending on the size of the fawn and the condition they're in, and put some blankets down there. Maybe throw the heating pad in the bottom, and you can run the heat lamp on them. Just, you know, make sure if you if you're if you're If you really don't know how hot it is there, just get a little thermometer, set it by them. You really don't want that, you know, over 100 degrees. That's pretty warm. So those are good to have on hand. Also, we want a good quality vitamin B, like a vitamin B complex. I like the B12. I think it's actually a prescription. It's a B12. I want to say 3000. That's the number on it. I got it from PBS Animal Health in Ohio. That's a great company, by the way. If you ever want to order stuff, PBS is top notch. They have everything in hand, and they're just, their customer service is great. They get stuff out to you real quick. The vitamin B, also a bottle or two of 50% dextrose. You can make a sugar water if you want. I just buy the dextrose in the bottle. It's quick and easy. And that's real good for those fawns, because when they get dehydrated, their sugar levels go way down, and we want to pick them up. Also, fluids or lactated ringers. These are a must. If you do not have these on your farm, order some IV sets, and order some lactated ringers. I get mine in the 1,000 ml bags. I just go to my vet and say, hey, I want some 1,000 ml bags of lactated ringers, and I get them by the case. They're pretty cheap, couple bucks a bag. Those things are dynamite. They help replace all the salts and chlorides, etc., that are in the animal's body, and they really rehydrate those animals. We do almost exclusively sub-Q fluids. It's a lot safer in its application. I do some IV, but it's mostly on bigger deer and in certain situations. But sub-Q fluids are great. It's awesome on fawns. You know, give them every situation is a little different, but you know, I'll run anywhere from 100 to, you know, 300 mLs of fluid into those fawns, depending on their situation and their size, you know, maybe a couple times a day, 2-3 times a day over a 24-hour period. Get them rehydrated. You know, you want to get them peeing and pooping so those systems continue to work. So that wraps up a couple of things we can do with those weaker fawns, small fawns, and in the cold weather, just animals that are a little knocked down. So we have some testing grounds, or we'll call them testing grounds here, and it's basically the pens here at Red Ridge. And what we do with those, we have four of them. They're about, an acre, somewhere in between there. It might be like 0.9 to 1.2, 1.3, depending on the pens. And we have about five does in each one of those pens. I think the one pen's got four, and then the rest have five, something along those lines. And those are our breeding pens. And we have some different protocols that we're testing here. Now, the protocols that I put out for people here, I guess it would have been maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, something like that, the ones that are available on the homepage of servitsolutions.com. Those are recommendations. Those are compiled over the past X amount of years and what we've seen work best here and on other farms. So this is just isn't, you know, my theory. This is work for other people as well. And that's how those were developed. We do try to try new things every year to see if we can improve on prior years. So that's what we're doing this year. We're doing a couple different protocols, and I'm keeping some real good records. We're going to compile that data for you guys, and then we're going to make it available to you so you can check it out and maybe help, you know, try to improve your program a little bit. One of the tests we're doing is we're doing a passive transfer test. And all we're doing is we're actually drawing blood on these fawns and seeing if they're actually getting the proper amount of proteins from mom. So that'll be interesting to see how that data compiles. So I just wanted to give you guys an update on that. With planning ahead, and I know fawns are coming now, and this is kind of after the fact of the show we did last week or 2 weeks ago, episode 8. This is just a quick list of some stuff that came off the top of my head. Is by no means complete, so this is not the only thing that you have to have. But these are some things that you may or may not have thought about that are important to have on hand. Number one, baby enema. Need to have one of those on hand, so you get some fawns that are maybe constipated. They haven't had a bowel movement in, you know, a few days. Run a little baby enema into them. Boom, done. Fawn paste. We recommend the C&E fawn paste. I don't need to go into that more. If you want to know more about that, you can head over to CEWildlife.com or give Shane a call. There's a link right here on the podcast page. Just click on the C&E logo and head over and check that out. If you're dealing with any type of broken bones, things of that nature, as far as legs go, what you can do is you can take a 3/4 or a 1-inch piece of PVC and you can cut it in half the long ways. Then just run a piece of sandpaper over it and knock those edges off, make it smooth, round your edges on each end out, and you have nice little splints. We keep some gauze wrap or gauze rolls on hand so we can pad that leg up wherever it's broke, wrap it kind of tight and set it, and then we just take some, horse wrap or horse vet wrap. They use it commonly on hoofs. I was able to score a case of it real cheap. They're running a discount at Tractor Supply, whatever. It almost looks like small rolls of Ace bandage. It's kind of porous, but it sticks on itself. Just have to be careful you're not wrapping that stuff too tight. You don't want to cut off circulation to the leg. I've learned that the hard way, and actually had an animal's hoof come off because I killed it. Killed the hoof. So we want to be careful with that. And just, you know, if you haven't done it before, you know, I'd call your vet out and just say, hey, walk me through this process, or another experienced farmer that's done it a few times. So we want to have those things on hand and ready to go. Tube feeder. You can get this. A lot of the stuff you can get from PBS Animal Health. They have just the lamb feeders. It's just a large syringe and a basically a rubber tube. Learn how to tube feed. I will try to do a video here over the summer. Hopefully I won't have to, but each year I seem to have to tube feed a fawn or two some fluids. But we'll try to get that wrapped up this summer as well. But have a tube feeder on hand. Again, if you haven't done it, have somebody that has show you how, or a vet. We mentioned the dextrose solution before, lactated ringers. Those are just, I can't speak highly enough of those. Fluids. They're so important. I've saved so many fawns with lactated ringers. Make sure you buy the IV sets and the appropriate items to go with that, so you have those on hand. Meds. I'm not going to go into the specifics of the meds, but if you'd like to know what we have on here, on hand here, and what's worked really well for us, you can just shoot me an email. It's jnewton, N-E-W-T-O-N, at cervidsolutions.com. Electrolytes. There's two different kinds of electrolytes we use here. One is the C&E electrolytes. That's great for rehydration. You can use that in large animals or small. If you're bottle feeding, there's a product called Diaq. Again, you can get that from PBS. It's just an awesome nutritional supplement. It has components in it that help rehydrate the animal, but it also has some nutritional value as well. So you can pull them off the milk and you can feed that to them. That Diaq works really well. We mentioned the C&E energy pack. Boy, you can prop a fawn back up real quick with that stuff. It's dynamite stuff. It works great. Pritchard teats and bottles. Have some of those on hand. Even if you're not bottle feeding, it's good to have some new ones there. Just remember that rubber gets old. You might get a second season out of them. They're like $1.75 or $2. Throw them in the trash and buy new ones. I've had too many fawns break them off, swallow them. Some do okay. I've had others die. It's just not worth the stress of going through that. So just get yourself new nipples each year. You want to reuse the bottles? Fine. Just buy new nipples. It's well worth it. The glass bottles that we use, we just go to the store, and maybe it's an excuse for me to drink ginger ale. But we get the little Canadian dry 10-ounce ginger ale bottles or Schweppes or whatever it is. And I use those. I like using glass to start my fawns initially. Maybe I'm superstitious. Well, I'm sure I'm superstitious because I'm a deer farmer and we have all sorts of different things that we think are great and for a reason. But I think the glass, it cleans up better for me. It sterilizes real nice as opposed to the, the white plastic bottles. Screw on cap. Those Pritchard nipples go right on them real nice. So check those out. You know, the glass sterilizes super in a hot water, dishwasher. So, disinfectants, you got to have some bleach on hand. It's good for just cleaning stuff up. I know, for instance, Cryptosporidium, which we have not seen here in Pennsylvania, at least not that I've heard about for quite some time. We had a bout go through where there was quite a few farms that were dealing with crypto. I guess that was six years ago now, something like that. That stuff's nasty. It's tough to treat, and it's messy as far as diarrhea goes in those fawns. But anyway. Crypto can live in bleach. So let's get some disinfectants that work on more of a wide variety of these bacteria that we have to deal with. There's a product called Tektrol. I think it's Tektrol. We just buy it in a gallon. A little bit goes a long way. It's incredible stuff. I will put a little bit, a quarter ounce into the dishwasher when I sterilize my bottles. If you put more than that in, it will foam all over the place. Again, if you put more of it in, it will foam all over the place. I just wanted to make that clear. I came in one day. I must have splashed too much. Oh, I know I splashed too much in. It looked like I put half a bottle of Dawn in the dishwasher, and it was all over the floor. Good excuse to clean the floor and scrub it down, but my goodness. So, real good disinfectant. It works really well. A little tough on the respiratory system. Make sure you're in a well ventilated area. Anyway, so that's Tektrol. Beach towels. Like to have some beach towels on. They're good for drying animals off, little fawns. If you get fawns that maybe get some diarrhea and you gotta clean them up, just throw them in the utility sink, spray them down, put a little bit of hand soap or dish soap on you or some antibacterial soap, whatever you got, scrub them up. They get stuff caked on their hocks and around their butt and on their tail, and they clean up good. But have some beach towels on hand that you can wrap those fawns up in and get them dry. Also, they're great for those steam bags that we were talking about earlier. Wood shavings. You can have two different kinds. They got flaked wood shavings and then the finer ones. Sometimes it depends how motivated I am. I'll have both on hand. And we'll put the finer ones underneath the coarse ones when we're doing our bottle feeding as far as bedding goes, and just because we have concrete floors, we don't have the raised floors, which I think are pretty awesome. I've seen some just tremendous setups with guys with the raised rubber coated floors, and we can talk about those at a later time. But wood shaving, so I'll put the fine ones underneath the coarse ones, and they catch up, when the fawns pee, they soak down through the coarse ones and they get into the finer stuff. It soaks them up real nice. You can clean that out good. We had mentioned the portable dog kennel before. Have a couple of those on hand if you're doing a lot of fawns. They're great for, segregating a fawn out and, keeping it separate from a group, heating them up, storage, etc. We said about the heat lamps, make sure you have some heat lamps on hand. Get some of those little portable thermometers. They're a couple bucks a piece. You can get them for, fridges, ovens, whatever. Have a couple of those so you know the temp, so you're not cooking those fawns if that's what you're using it for. Baby wipes, we just buy those by the case. They are good for doing doing the job, cleaning butts and stimulating fawns. Breeding gloves, cattle breeding gloves. So we want the gloves that they're like clear plastic or a light tinted color, and they go all the way up to your shoulder. Each year we seem to have to interject into a breeding, whether that be a breach, you know, mom, I don't know. She needs some work done on her. She hasn't been able to push a fawn out for 8 hours. You see the hoofs hanging out of it. It's dead. We deal with some dystocia or having those fawns way too big. I have used just latex fawns or my bare hands to pull fawns out. And I think I've caused some contamination, even though I've given antibiotics. And I think I've messed some does up as far as their reproductive abilities. So we try to be as sterile as possible. What you can do is you can take one of those beach towels. If you're working out in the field, I work out in the field and by myself all the time. Tough for me to get animals into our lab facility by myself. So just lift up their butt, slide a beach towel underneath, and just make sure that you know you're trying to keep yourself as clean as you can. Get those fawns out, get that dough back up, and kind of go from there. So have a box of those on hand. They're real cheap, and maybe you'll find other uses for them as well. We like to have some disposable scalpels for trimming velvet on bucks, for cleaning up cuts, for just a variety of things. Have some disposable scalpels. Again, super cheap, you know, maybe a couple bucks for a pack of them. We also like to have some suture kits on hand. We just go over to the local dog and cat vet. They come in a little nice prepackaged container with the needles already on them. We get the disposable kind, so they melt out of the animal or dissipate out of the animal, just like the ones they use when you get your dog spayed or neutered or whatever. So get some of those, have those on hand. If you don't know how to stitch, which I am not a very good stitcher by any means, but if I get the need to have to do it, I can get it done. When your vet's out, just have them show you, or you know, watch a. I'm sure there's some. I haven't even looked, but I can almost guarantee there's some videos on YouTube of suturing. So that's a good skill to know. Certainly if you have the need for it, you know, on a human, then you'll know how to do it too. So it's just a good skill to know. Syringes and needles, make sure that you have some 20 gauge and also some 22 gauge needles. So if you need to do some IV work on a fawn, those 22 gauge needles will work really well. We have a variety of other stuff in our lab. If I get some time here, maybe in the next couple weeks, I'll go into the lab and I'll write down some more stuff and we'll catch up at another show. So, I got to get out of here. It's middle of the day and I just came over to grab some lunch. I figured I'd do a quick podcast for you guys. I haven't been around, for about 2 weeks now, and I just been busy with getting stuff going here and fawns, et cetera. So as always, I appreciate everybody listening to the show. If you have comments, questions, topics you want to hear about, interviews, et cetera, just shoot me an email. It's jnewton@servidsolutions.com. You can give me a call toll free at 844-478-2870. Again, that's 844-478-2870. But yeah, we appreciate listening. If you, you like the work we're doing here and you want to help support the show, just head over to the CSM, sign up for that membership program. We really appreciate it. We're working hard to help you guys out. So, with that, we'll wrap up the show. And as always, stay tuned for another episode of North American Deer Talk.